Well, we've been singing a lot tonight about the babe of Bethlehem. And if you think about it, modern day Bethlehem, it's the place that announced peace to the world. And today, it's a place marked by conflict and turmoil, separated from the nearby city of Jerusalem by 30-meter walls, 600 kilometers long, security checkpoints everywhere, armed guards. And in the last 50 years, Bethlehem used to be 85% Christian, and now it's less than 10%. So what a change, what a contrast. And the New Testament tells us, though, as we think about Bethlehem, and we read from Micah 5 tonight, that very prophecy there in Micah 5 was the prophecy that told the Jewish people, and even King Herod himself, he used it to identify where the Messiah, the Christ child, will be born, and that was in Bethlehem. So if you just turn in your Bibles quickly, as we look at that prophecy in Micah chapter 5 and verses 1 to 5. And if we want to give a title to this sermon, really, this short little sermon is The Babe of Bethlehem. The Babe of Bethlehem. Now, chapter 5, verse 1. Now muster yourselves in troops, daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us. With a rod they will smite the king of Israel on the cheek. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. Verse 4, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. Verse 5, this one will be our peace. When the Assyrian invades our land, when he tramples on our citadels, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men. Let's just pray. Lord, as we contemplate this passage, we realize that many of us here are like the paradox of Bethlehem, holy yet unholy, peace yet at war, so profound in our understanding of Christ and yet so deficient in many ways. Often we're blinded by the tinsel of a cluttered Christmas, and we need to peel back the layers of tradition, Lord, and peel back man-made ritual and rediscover the profound truth of Christmas. So, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. May us help us to understand who he is at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, around 735 BC, this is Micah's great Christmas prediction. And if you read it, you say, well, it's a bit strange. You know, where's the peace here? Because it opens with the declaring of war. Because Israel, in about 30 years, is about to be invaded by the Assyrians, around about 701 BC. They were a brutal people. And if you have heard about ISIS, they make ISIS look like people out for a Sunday picnic. That's how brutal the Assyrians were. And they were about to come on Israel and destroy them. And not long after that, in the next generation, the Babylonians were to come against them. And these two murderous nations struck Israel with such a fierce and devastating blow that even Israel's king would be humiliated. And verse 1 here is probably referring to Zedekiah, who was blinded before Israel after his sons were killed in front of him by the Babylonians. So before Micah can really give us the good news, you know, we need to come to grips with the bad news. And really it's the same as salvation. Before you can truly put your hope in Christ, you need to see how hopeless your situation really is. And your situation is hopeless without Christ, just like these Israelites. You have to realize your complete need of the Savior. You have to jettison your self-dependence, self-made religion, because none of that will save you. And Israel was about to find that out. So what we see here, what God is doing in Micah, he's actually narrowing down actually the prophecies about the Messiah. And he's going to give an exact portrait of who the Messiah is to the people of Israel. So they know what he's going to look like. And so there can be no excuse for not recognizing him when he comes. If you remember Genesis 3, Christ was going to be the crusher, the one that would crush Satan's head. In Genesis 12, if you remember, the nations will be blessed through Abraham's line, through Isaac and Jacob. And then as you read through Genesis, you get to Genesis 49. And Jacob prophesied that the Messiah would come from Judah's line. He says there, the scepter will not depart from Judah. And then we get to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And God declares to one of Judah's descendants, to King David, that the Savior would come through David's line. And he says there, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And now we get to Micah. And Micah narrows it down much further by saying that this male offspring from Abraham's line through Isaac and Jacob and Judah and David, he would be born in a little village. A little village 10 kilometers south of Jerusalem. And so if you want to take some quick notes, this is just a quick explanation of Micah. I'll just give you 8 characteristics of the babe of Bethlehem, so that you can celebrate him, believe in him, worship him, follow and obey him for the rest of your lives. And the first thing we see in Micah there in verse 2 is that the first characteristics is that he's an ironic babe. An ironic babe. Look at verse 2 of chapter 5 of Micah. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, a very insignificant town. Such an unlikely place for the king of the universe. Can you believe it? And yet likely. 300 years before this, this was the very place where King David was born. And even the great redemption story of Ruth happened in this place. So, but why would God choose such an insignificant town? Why? Bethlehem, of all places. Well, to make sure that God gets all the glory, right? So that Bethlehem could never say, oh, because of our grandeur, because we're famous, because our people are so wonderful, because of our status as a city, God chose to launch the salvation plan through us. So they could not boast. And so it is with salvation. If you are truly saved here today, God has humbled you to make you realize that you are nothing and he is everything. In a sense, we're all kind of little Bethlehems because we cannot save ourselves. We have no power, no capability whatsoever. And none of us would have ever been saved if God had not first chosen us, if he had not first chosen us for his redemption plan. We have nothing to boast in except Christ, Christ alone, and what he achieved for us on the cross to merit our salvation. To God alone be the glory. The second characteristic I want you to see in these verses there, he has that he's going to be a God-focused babe. Look at verse 2 again. From you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. For me. Notice what it says. For me. Who's the me there? Who would benefit the most from the fact that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem? It's not Israel. It's not even us. It's actually God. It's for God's own benefit. For his plans and for his glory and for his name. And so Christmas is really a lot more about God than it is about us. It really is. It's about God. God bringing glory to himself. And so he would be a God-focused babe. Look at verse 2 again. It also says, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. As we've already seen, it was prophesied that the Messiah would come from Judah's line through David. He would be a king and a conqueror. And the ruler would finally establish an earthly kingdom of peace and righteousness that Israel itself has never been able to establish. Never. And so now, he would be a royal babe. That's the third characteristic. The fourth characteristic of this babe, and perhaps this is the most astounding, And this is again in verse 2, is that he would be an eternal babe, an eternal babe. Look at verse 2 again. It says, his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Now this child of this prophecy, if you think about it, is not an ordinary child. Of whom can it be said that his goings forth are from long ago? So his origins can be traced back further than King David, even past the patriarchs. Isaiah already declared his coming, that he would be Emmanuel, God with us. And he would be called Mighty God, an Everlasting Father. We even see this in the New Testament. You know, John 1, verse 1 very well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God, and the Word was God. And so John declares that in the New Testament. In John 8:58, Jesus said to the Jewish establishment, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, what? I am. There he's claiming the name of God himself. That's why they wanted to kill him. And we sing often in these carols by Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. There's no getting around this fact, the staggering fact, that in first century Bethlehem, an insignificant city, when Mary bent over that manger and kissed the face of a newborn child, she was kissing the face of God. Think about it. The eternal Son of God. So the fifth characteristic you see of this babe is in verse 3. Not only an eternal babe, but in verse 3, a restoring babe. Look at verse 3. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. Only through Christ will the estranged Jews eventually and finally be saved and brought under the scepter of King Jesus. Only then will they truly be restored to their God and their people. And Paul elaborates that for us, especially in Romans chapter 11. And so we see he will be a restoring babe. The sixth characteristic we see there of this babe of Bethlehem is that in verse 4 again, he would be a shepherding babe. Verse 4, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain. You know what? He's the perfect pastor. There's anyone else. He's the ideal shepherd. Why? It tells you in the verse. Because he would not shepherd in his own strength. He will shepherd in the very strength of God himself. And he won't even lead in his own name or by his own authority, but in the majestic name of the Lord his God. Remember John 10 that Tim explained to us a while ago? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then he said in verse 14 of John 10, I am the good shepherd and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me. And then he said, I have other sheep, those are the Gentiles, which are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. And so he is a shepherding babe, another characteristic of this babe of Bethlehem. The seventh characteristic is there in verse 4 again. He'll be a world famous babe. Look what the verse says. Because at that time he will be great. Where to? To the ends of what? To the ends of the earth. What a day that would be. Think about it. When there's only one celebrity left on this planet. There's only one signature that everybody wants to get. Right? There's only one superstar. There's only one superhero. All these superhero movies that keep coming out. There's only one. The Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says that every knee will bow. Every knee will bow to this babe. So remember that. The eighth and final characteristic we see in these verses is that he will be a peace-giving babe. A peace-giving babe. Look at verse 5. This one will be our peace. When the Assyrian invades our land, when he tramples on our citadels, then we will rise against him. Seven shepherds and eight leaders of men. This one will be our peace. My question is, do you know his peace? Do you know it? John 14, remember when Tim explained to that verse to us. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do you know that peace of the Savior? Is He your personal Savior? And then as we think about this, Micah prophesied these things over 700 years ago in advance, and now they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ. On that starry night, in that little insignificant town, Bethlehem, God sent us an ironic babe. He sent us a Godward babe. He sent us a royal babe, an eternal babe, a restoring babe, a shepherding babe, a world-famous babe, and a peace-giving babe. And so the question remains, what will you do? What will you do with the babe of Bethlehem? He's coming again, but not as a babe. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10 says this: Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. Quite a contrast. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and away from the glory of His power, when He comes to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled among all those who have believed. So marvel at this babe now, but commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and marvel when He comes again. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank You for Your word. Thank You for the songs we can sing. And as we continue to sing, Lord, may we give You glory. And may You reach into people's hearts and may they see who You are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.